Here at Daleville Christian Church, we believe it is important to know what you believe and to claim what it is you believe. And so each worship service, we state our faith, and we share that on our website each time we record the sermon. This affirmation of our faith is from Ephesians, the second chapter, the 4th through the 8th verses. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. The gospel reading for today is from Luke's gospel, the first chapter, the verses 39 through 56, which contains the verses commonly referred to as Mary's song or the Magnificat. Beginning in verse 39, at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but he has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This season at Daleville Christian Church, we are talking about prophecy, and why not? Jesus fulfilled some 300 prophecies of the Old Testament, and there were a dozen Old Testament prophecies fulfilled just in Jesus' being born. You may think a prophecy is a kind of prediction of things that will happen, and that is certainly an aspect of prophecy. But weather is a prediction. Prophecy isn't like that. As a matter of fact, the weatherman or the weatherwoman take 10 minutes to explain what's going to happen and why tomorrow and the next day. When we read prophecy, we don't get a lot of explanation. It's one reason that prophecy can be difficult to understand. We've talked about why prophecy is important. Our God has a plan. We can even get more personal because our God is a personal God. God has a plan for you. Today in God's Word, we will see how God's plan for the world and God's plan for individuals came together in the birth of Jesus. When we talk about Joseph, and we don't talk about Joseph much, do we? Joseph is an essential part of God's plan. Messiah, God's plan of salvation, is to be born from the house of David, a child of Abraham. Joseph is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Not genetically, but genealogically, right? Joseph is the fulfillment of that prophecy. Not genetically, but genealogically. Jesus will be son of Joseph, the son of Jacob, and Matthew's gospel begins with Matthew 1:1, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Jesus qualifies as Messiah as part of God's plan to save us. Joseph is betrothed to his fiancée Mary, and betrothal is a legal binding so that the child born of Mary will legally be Joseph's son, a son of David. God's plan to save all of humanity includes a plan for one person, Joseph of Nazareth. God's plan to save all of humanity includes a plan for one person. We might think of that with regard to ourselves. Having said that, we now turn our attention to Luke's gospel book. We've talked about the differences between Luke's gospel and Matthew's gospel's report of Jesus' birth. And by the way, the earliest believers were never bothered by the fact that there were two different reports of Jesus' birth. Remember, Matthew has the Magi, Luke has the shepherds. We conveniently put them all together at Jesus' birth in the nativity scenes, but that isn't what the Bible says. You know me well enough to know that I have been tempted to put two nativity scenes in front of the church so that we see Matthew's gospel and Luke's gospel as they are written. Two different scenes. I'm not saying they could not have all met up one night. I'm just saying that the Bible doesn't describe it that way. That's all I'm saying. It all happened as written. And okay, picky details aside, Matthew is our author who is sure to quote the Old Testament to us concerning Jesus' birth. He'll quote the prophets Isaiah and Micah and Hosea and Jeremiah. We turn to Luke's gospel book, and there we find no Old Testament quotations. No quotations, but that doesn't mean that the Old Testament is not there. So let's notice where Luke is sure to mention or allude to the Old Testament. Luke certainly has some Old Testament-looking characters that he writes about, the prophets Simeon and Anna. Even John the Baptist's dad, the priest Zechariah, who has an encounter in the temple in Jerusalem with the angel Gabriel. All of that looks so Old Testament. And if we look closely, some of these people even speak an Old Testament language. And we will get to that in a little bit. They're not quotations of the Old Testament, but they reference the Old Testament. But first again, let's notice the prophets, especially in Luke. Jesus' words come to mind first. You may recall Jesus was in Nazareth. It was his first public proclamation. Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. I'm reading from Luke chapter 4. Jesus stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, and then having quoted the prophet Isaiah, Jesus said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled." The fulfillment of Old Testament scripture proclaimed in Luke's gospel book. When Jesus appears to the disciples resurrected at the end of Luke's gospel, in the 24th chapter, Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Jesus is saying the prophets spoke of what has happened. Then a few verses later, Jesus says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Beginning with the books of Moses and the prophets. And then, again, Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Luke is sure to quote Jesus on that score. The apostles, too, will state that God is fulfilling what he foretold in the prophets. The apostle Peter will say it to the crowds at the temple in Jerusalem, Acts chapter 3. This is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets. So, the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, which Luke also wrote, Luke knows, and Luke wants you to know, God's plan, God's promises are being fulfilled. God is accomplishing his plan. Present tense. It isn't just something that happened a long time ago. Jesus is still opening the eyes of the blind. Jesus is still releasing people from darkness. Jesus is still setting people free. Jesus is still helping people move upright. Jesus is still rescuing people, saving people from perishing. When we look in Luke's book at what is known as Mary's song, also called the Magnificat, because in Latin that's the first word out of Mary's mouth. Magnificat. And although scripture is not quoted here, almost every verse of what Mary says, including some very specific word choices, can be found in the Old Testament. I originally wanted to put these verses in front of you in the sermon notes with the Old Testament citations, but there are too many. It would take a chart to show you all the references to the Old Testament. In just these 9 verses, there are 10 books of the Old Testament referred to, and in those references, 6 different psalms. Now you may think, sure, that's what the Bible writer should do, but you don't understand. Mary probably didn't speak Greek. She probably spoke Aramaic, a dialect of Hebrew. The Old Testament is in Hebrew, and Luke is a Greek. The only way a person could do that today is with internet programs and searching for particular words or phrases in the Old Testament Bible. But Luke did it without electricity. Luke has taken Mary's words and utilized Hebrew scripture to express Mary's heart. Mary saw that she was now having God's promises fulfilled in her and through her. Luke 1:48 and 9, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, holy is his name. Mary sees that this is the fulfillment of the promise to Abraham, that the world would be blessed through Abraham, mentioned in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12. And the world would be blessed through Abraham by Jesus' birth, life, and death, and the resurrection of Jesus. In the birth, God's plan is unfolding. Mary goes on to sing, he has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Mary clearly states that God remembered. Haven't some of us at one time or another wondered if God had forgotten us? The Jews under Roman domination certainly thought they had been forgotten. The Jews were waiting for a Messiah to come. At least some of the Jews had been waiting for the Messiah to come who would liberate them from Roman rule. They had waited a long time. They'd been disappointed a few times. Pretenders to be Messiah had come and gone. But God is going to fulfill God's plan even while the Romans are present. Mary says that God is remembering to be merciful and that God is doing what God promised. Can't we also be glad to hear Mary's words, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord because he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." I think another translation is the humble estate, or the humbleness of his handmaiden. But what low estate? What humbleness? Mary is not poverty stricken. But Mary is a nobody, really. A foreign woman, that is, she's not Roman. A foreign woman in a backwater town, in a backwater country, oppressed and ruled over by godless heathens of Rome. The most important, powerful empire in the known world. So who's she? The Lord God is fulfilling his promises through her. He who is mighty has indeed done great things. God is going to save his people from sin. Those who are spiritually poor, the spiritually hungry, are going to be fed. And we know how this is going to be played out in Luke's gospel book. The words of angels will be delivered. Where? The palace? No. To the governor? No. Will the angels meet the town council? Or the angels meet with the captains of the marketplace? The leading businessmen of the area? No. The words of angels, the songs of angels will be sung for shepherds living with their sheep. God will reveal to them good news of a great joy that will actually be for all people, for everyone. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Messiah, the Christ, the Lord. And the sign is a baby in a feeding trough. Friends, do you believe the rich get richer? Do you believe the powerful get more powerful? Well, not in the eyes of Almighty God, they don't. The Bible, and Mary sing it here, says that the rich and powerful don't look to God for help, but rather they look down on other people. These types of people God sends away empty-handed. But God helps the faithful oppressed, those who are oppressed in spirit, oppressed in life, oppressed in hope. God helps them. Verse 54, he has blessed his servant. The word here used in Greek, he has helped his servant. He has helped his servant. And the word here used in Greek is the image of a person taking hold of another person in support, in order to support them, to hold them up. That is what God is doing for you and me. This is what God was doing for his people through Mary. Was helping them. Just as the Lord spoke it to the ancestors, our souls can proclaim the greatness of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen.